The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 11 degrees at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Dennis Shmulevich. And here are today's headlines. New rules for vaccine passports, calls for more money for home care, and trying to influence the city's agenda. So Canadians will now have to show their proof of vaccination to enter the country. Fully vaccinated travelers will need to obtain their proof before they cross the border. Marie-Catherine Gaudreau is in the studio with us. So, Marie-Catherine, how will this vaccine passport affect traveling in Canada?
This vaccination proof will facilitate the access to the Canadian territory and to other countries because it was designed to be internationally recognized. So any country will then be able to identify what a standard proof of vaccination in Canada looks like. Many countries have adopted a similar type of document. Here is Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
As Canadians look to start traveling again, there will be a standardized proof of vaccination certificate that, as we said, we will be picking up the tab for at the federal level to ensure that all provinces are able to do it.
So what should someone expect if they plan to travel in the next few months?
So if you are planning to travel, you will have to download the application ArriveCan and enter your vaccination proof. A QR code will then be generated. The proof can be presented either in PDF letter format or on a mobile device or in hard copy. It will be scanned by an agent at the border.
And many provinces like Quebec already have their own vaccination proof. So how will this new passport affect what's already in place?
This will not affect the vaccination proof that is already used to enter restaurants, for example. It is an additional proof for the population. Currently, vaccination documents are not normalized for international travels. But some provinces and territories in Canada have already adopted this vaccination proof.
Thank you, Marie-Catherine. Reactions continue to pour in on Legault's speech on Tuesday, where he said he wanted to decentralize healthcare. However, he remained silent on how this would translate to in-home care for seniors. Here is Sarah Eldaba with more.
Jean-François Duclos, who runs an organization of volunteers that helps seniors in the neighborhood, believes that in-home care is the most beneficial for seniors. A large concern for the senior that is sick, regardless of what their sickness is, and has to leave their home, is leaving. It is a much larger stress in addition to the stress they are facing because of their sickness. The largest seniors organization in Canada echoed his feelings. They condemned the Prime Minister yesterday for not taking immediate action to improve conditions for in-home care. The president of this organization, Giselle Tassé-Goodman, says that the government needs to act now before it's too late. Today, the PQ called for action from the CAQ as well. They want to triple the amount of money spent on in-home care over the next 5 years.
Faut regarder maintenant la réalité en face et faire des choix.
We need to directly look at the reality that is facing us and make medium to long-term budgetary choice so we don't find ourselves once again in a crisis where our seniors pay the price. Duclos agrees that investing in long-term care would save the government money in the long run.
C'est plus payant pour le gouvernement d'agir de cette façon.
It is more profitable for the government to do this instead of coordinating staff for the entire network, which is extremely expensive. The CAQ announced in May that it would spend $750 million on in-home care, in contrast to the $2.7 billion proposed by the PQ. I'm Cyril Dubba for Concordia News.
In other healthcare news, Christian Dubé, Minister of Health and Social Services, agreed to continue financing the Coalition of Residential Resources of Quebec. So they provide help to people who have limited autonomy, but who are outside the subsidized institutions. So this will help over 1,600 adults and their families across Quebec. More details are to come, but this will facilitate an integration and participation back into the community at a really difficult time. Outgoing CDN NDG Mayor Sue Montgomery has announced she wishes to split the borough. The announcement has sparked a lot of discussion, with many voicing support and others voicing critiques. Mzwandile Pongkana joins us in the studio to tell us more. Mzwandile, why does Sue Montgomery want the split to happen?
Well, her primary reason is that she says the split would provide better services in general to residents. She would like each of the two boroughs to have their own distinct borough council, which she said would prioritize each of their needs in a more focused way. She also says there are strong linguistic and geographical divides between the two, and so they should be separated.
And how did the local residents react?
There are definitely opposing sides to this issue. Some residents have voiced full support, saying there is a distinctiveness between the two boroughs, and this justifies the split. However, some residents find it unnecessary. I spoke to one resident, Lev Berner, who thinks it is nothing more than a political stunt.
Personally, I think it's absolute desperation. I mean, so I think one of the benefits for splitting Kokanez and NDT is that Sioux would have a way, way better chance of winning.
Another reason this announcement has received a lot of support, though, is because Montgomery says that it could save on certain costs. However, there have been critiques that it would actually lead to more administrative costs to hire more public servants. Lev also said Montgomery's past financial decisions is a reason to be skeptical.
Personally, I'm complaining about the budget, but not asking any specific questions or pressing City Hall. So if she thinks this is going to be better for the budget, she can't even handle the budget in the first place. How is she going to do it any differently?
And what did other political parties have to say?
She has definitely received some harsh criticism from opposing politicians. For example, Lionel Perez from Ensemble Montreal told the press that her announcement is nothing but a distraction from the well-known legal proceedings being filed against her currently. I spoke to one candidate, Neil Mukherjee, who is running in the upcoming elections with Action Montreal, who said that he questions if the split is even possible.
Speaking to citizens on both the Côte-Neige and NDG side, I'm hearing a lot about that. It's not manageable.
He went on to say that it would be difficult to gain the support needed at the provincial level, and agreed that Montgomery is only really interested in doing it as a political stunt.
Thanks, Manzindele. The municipal elections could not be more tightly contested, but only between the top two candidates. 26% of respondents to a poll support Denis Coderre, while 25% want to see Valérie Plante re-elected for a second term. Balarama Holness takes a third distant spot at 5%, and Luc Ménard is at 4%. The poll included over 1,000 Montrealers, but was not randomized to fully represent the city. With the coming municipal elections in Montreal, the coalition Prenons la Ville is gathering this morning to share concerns to change the city. Delphine is on Park Avenue at the conference. So Delphine, tell us more about the coalition.
Yeah, sure. So it's a nonpartisan coalition that is constituted of various citizens, activists, and different associations. Many association spokespersons are attending the conference here today to share their desire for a greener and more just city. Here's Chulky Yoon from the Immigrant Workers Center.
So that's the principle of the nonpartisan, because we want to keep the citizens' politics outside of the city council, but at the same time influencing from the outside the politics of the city.
And so what is the coalition discussing this morning?
Many things are discussed today at the conference. Prenons la Ville wants to influence municipal elections to transform Montreal into a more alternative and progressivist city. But one main issue discussed today is definitely the housing crisis. Members want Montreal to consider social housing and affordability more seriously. Here is Aiden Blackwood, one of the organizers.
A big part of the Prenons la Ville platform is like amplifying the demands of those organizations and really like asserting housing as like a human right.
And what else is the coalition demanding for the city?
Yes, sure. So the NIS members are also especially concerned with environmental issues, justice, and democracy. Aiden, again, has more to say about the coalition's request.
It's a set of four kind of intentionally broad categories of demands related to like climate justice, social justice broadly, anti-racism, migrant justice, centering on sort of direct democracy.
So basically, we have here a reunion of Montrealers who are calling for changes. They are organizing this morning to eventually publish their requests and influence municipal candidates' promises. Thank you, Dennis.
Thank you, Delphine. Nearly a month after Montreal had its third climate march on the 24th of September, Quebec continues to move forward in making hydro its sole energy source. Here's Lola Calder with the story.
The city of Montreal has vowed to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 55% between now and 2030 and become a carbon neutral city by 2050. One of the most prominent measures being taken to ensure this is a changeover to Hydro-Québec as the primary energy source. However, not everyone is convinced that this is the best way forward. Sarah Adams from Climate Justice Montreal spoke to me this morning about her thoughts on the matter.
But putting all our eggs in that basket, I think, is not the best strategy, because we need to be also investing in other renewable energy sources, wind, solar. We need to be diversifying our energy portfolio, our non-carbon portfolio.
Manon Mercé, spokesperson for Québec Solidaire, also spoke this morning about Québec's use of hydropower in the province. We asked yesterday for the government to cap the prices on hydroelectricity and to open a law that limits the amount of energy used, a motion which was refused. But the use of Hydro-Québec and the problems it could potentially pose goes beyond its role as a sustainable energy source, states Adams, who says that the government need to also be investigating the climate justice behind the creation of hydro for energy.
We need to be also simultaneously fighting the climate crisis's roots in colonialism and capitalism, and making ways and finding ways to support those at the front lines of this crisis, like Indigenous people, marginalized folks.
I'm Lola Calder in NDG for Concordia News.
Following his inaugural speech in the National Assembly this week, Premier François Legault said those eligible for English services in the province with Bill 96 are historic Quebec Anglophones. Kendra Sharp spoke with Sylvia Martin-Lafarge, the director of the Quebec Community Group Network, who says that CAQ government is not listening to the Anglophone community when they say this will restrict their access to essential services.
We had to put a fine point on, hey, wait a minute, you haven't heard us. In the inaugural speech, the Premier spoke to us deliberately in, 54 words or 58 words or whatever it was. And he addressed the English-speaking community in English, telling us that he was proud that he could say that we were the best-treated minority. We were a historic community, a historic Anglophone community.
Do you think that's a fair assessment?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's the myth of the English-speaking community in Quebec. We have fought and taken our place to be treated fairly and justly. Does that make us the best treated community? It makes us an important community that merits fair treatment. To compare us to the Francophones outside Quebec is disingenuous. That means that, we have whatever we need and we don't need to give you anything more.
How do you think it will further limit services when he's using this definition? How does this definition of the Anglophone community
It eliminates 300,000 to 500,000 English speakers. Because the mother tongue Anglos in Quebec are about 700,000. First official language spoken definition is 1.1 million. What do you do with those people who want services in English?
What are the main changes you'd like to see in Bill 96? Is it the definition of who makes up the Anglophone speaking community?
We've said that we want them to withdraw the bill completely and start again. We don't believe that the bill there has been enough consultation on the bill, and that while he says there's a consensus on the bill, we don't believe there is a consensus on the bill.
That was Kendra Sharp speaking with Sylvia Martin-Lafarge from the Quebec Community Groups Network. You know how we all always wait till the last moment to buy our holiday presents? Despite predicted product shortages, a poll showed that over 3/4 of Quebecers say they won't change their shopping schedule for this season's holidays. So Quebecers are planning to spend 10% more than last year, but feeling a little bit more thrifty than other Canadians, planning to spend $565, that's for Quebecers, compared to the national average of $792. We're also finally planning to get back to pre-pandemic levels of in-person shopping. So for today's arts and entertainment, we have the latest version of the movie Dune hitting the theaters, our very own Canadian pianist won the prestigious Frédéric Chopin competition, and the famous cartoon Asterix and Obelix just made a comic comeback. Shruti Mata is with us in the studio to tell us more.
By Osiris, do you mean it?
We're off on a nice sea voyage, Dogmatics.
You're not going to take him along.
And why not, Mr. Asterix?
Because he is far too small for such a long journey.
Asterix and Obelix are out on a new adventure. In their new installment, they are out to save a mythical creature named Griffin. A bunch of Sarmatian women warriors are the new characters. It is the cartoon's first installment, released after the death of Albert Uderzo, one of their creators. Rubberband, a contemporary dance company, has resumed their tour in Canada. They are a mix of hip-hop and classical ballet dancers touring ever so lightly in Vancouver after the two-year gap. Montreal pianist Bruce Léo won the 18th Chopin International Piano Competition today morning. He is a graduate from Montreal Conservatory of Music. He received a cash prize of about $58,000. He plans on kickstarting his career as a pianist with this new investment. Talking about achievements, the Russian film crew had their safe landing on Earth. The team collected 30 hours of footage in space. I wonder where the sequel will be shot. Mars?
Our planet Arrakis is so beautiful when the sun is low.
The 2021 adaptation of the movie Dune has hit the theaters. It is only the first half of the sci-fi novel. Fellow Quebecois Denis Villeneuve, the director, have always aspired to make a movie out of it. The team will be planning for part two, leaving us with more anticipation. If movies and theaters don't intrigue you, then join in on a dance protest by Montrealers. The event called Dancing in the Street starts at the Du Parc in Duluth Avenue from 2 p.m. to 8 p.m. this Saturday. That's all for arts and entertainment today.
Thank you, Sruti. What are you planning to make pumpkin pie for Halloween? Try Alice, a 2,000-pound pumpkin which just broke the Canadian record. This is the latest achievement for father and daughter Jim and Kelsey Bryson from Ormstown, Quebec. They also broke the world record in 2011 with an 1,800-pound pumpkin. Their secret ingredient is maple syrup. Unfortunately, those pumpkins are for growing. They're too bitter for eating. In sports, the Toronto Raptors finally return home for the season opening after playing all of last season in Florida. The championship series in Major League Baseball had two blowout wins while Shea Weber's future is in serious doubt after an update from Marc Bergevin. And CF Montreal tie Orlando in the MLS as they continue their pursuit for the playoffs.
Corner comes in, it's a goal! No stopping that one.
CF Montreal settled for a 1-1 tie against Orlando City in a tightly contested game. Rudy Camacho's goal in the 51st minute answered the goal from Orlando 5 minutes earlier. This tie helps the playoff hopes for Montreal as the end of the season approaches. Montreal's next game will be Saturday versus Toronto FC.
Markov to Weber, scores!
Today is a sad day for Habs fans everywhere as Captain Shea Weber continues to deal with his injuries. That previous clip was Shea Weber's first goal with the Canadiens, which happened almost 5 years ago to the day. When asked about the 36-year-old's status, Bergevin stated that he certainly won't play this season and that the road ahead is looking bleak for a return. The city of Montreal is collectively hoping this won't be the case.
Rosario will climb into the left-hand batter's box. 1-1 pitch. Rosario hits one well to deep right field. Back at the wall. That one is gone! Rosario knocked the living...
That was Eddie Rosario emphatically ending the hopes of a Dodgers comeback as the Braves defeated the Dodgers 9-2 to take a 3-1 series lead. This is the defending champs. They're on the brink of elimination. In the other conference, the Astros dominated the Red Sox 9-1 and are only one win away from reaching the World Series.
Delano lets it fly. Got it! From Barksdale!
That was Delano Branton, the first ever player drafted from Toronto who was born in the city. This game marks the first home opener for Toronto after spending all of last season playing their home games in Florida. Dennis?
Thank you, Duncan. It's 11 degrees and cloudy right now, but it should clear out a bit in the late afternoon. It might rain tomorrow morning, but it'll be cloudy with the sun peeking out a bit after lunch. Saturday will remain overcast, but Sunday and Monday we'll see a little bit more sun with highs of 11. Seasonal temperatures have finally caught up and will remain in the teens for the coming week. That's your news to 11:35. Thanks for listening. I'm Dennis Mulevich for Concordia News.